Loving Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to study your holy word. Thank you for the precious time of remembrance and the ministry of the word of God. We at this time very specially pray for Noble and Sarah and pray that they may have a very blessed wedding service and continue to be a blessing for others. And we pray that thou may lead them and guide them and give them a very wonderful, enjoyable, and a very blessed married life in your will, plan, and purpose, and for your glory. We also pray for all the dear saints of God in different parts of the world who are going through various challenges and various needs, and pray that thy protection and provision may be upon them. Bless our time together. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have been studying about Bible and the end times, and our methodology has been to highlight some very important biblical eschatological concepts. And once we know that from the Bible, we are able probably to analyze some of the contemporary events without making our own predictions and without reading into the text. So, once we have a thorough knowledge of what the Bible teaches, not all the details are not given, but here and there in the prophetic records, we have some very important prophecies revealed about the end times. So, expositorily and exegetically studying those passages would orient us to see these events from a biblical perspective, from God's perspective. And we can analyze it, we can understand it, we can appreciate it, and we can be more hopeful about the blessed hope which the Lord has given to us. And one of the very prominent figures in the end time Bible prophecy is the Antichrist. And we have seen that Antichrist is a program and also a person, culminating in a person, the man of lawlessness will be revealed. The man with a definite article definitely points to a person who will come upon the world stage during the end of the days. So we have been looking at that, and this person, this personality, he pervades throughout the Old Testament prophetic scriptures, especially in the book of Daniel. Then when we come to the book of Revelation and 2 Thessalonians, and also in Matthew 24 and 25 in the Olivet Discourse, we can see direct and indirect references to him. So he is looming large. So it is very important that we know about his coming and his activities. So very quickly, there are two important prophetic dreams in the book of Daniel. One is in Daniel chapter 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And the next one is in Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel chapter 2 doesn't specifically mention this person, Antichrist. But Daniel chapter 7 has a lot more to say about this person. And we have looked at some of those verses. So in these two dreams, we have a picture of the four kingdoms on the world stage. Major world powers. These world powers are presented before us in relation to Israel, in relation to Jerusalem. These world powers which have dominated the world and the history, but the prophetic interest is not its influence in world history, but how it is related to the nation Israel. So the first one, as we know from Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, in Daniel 7, in the vision which Daniel saw, it is symbolized by four animals, fierce animals. The first one is a lion having eagle's wings, and the second one bear with three ribs, and the third one is in the form of a leopard. But in the fourth one, in verse 7, Daniel 7:7, it's interesting that the fourth animal is given more attention by the prophet and more description is given about him. So the first one is the Babylonian Empire, the second one is the Medo-Persian Empire, and the third one is the Greek Empire by Alexander the Great and his father Philip of Macedon, and the fourth empire is the Roman Empire. Now in verse 7, Romans 7:7, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth, talking about its power and might. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And from the 10 horns, a little horn coming out, and the little horn is saying pompous words, and he is trying to dominate everyone else. And he is ferocious, he is vicious, he is cruel, and we have seen all those descriptions last week. So, moving on to the fourth one, let's move on to the next slide. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The same thing, God's prophet. Nebuchadnezzar saw this, and Daniel interpreted it. So when it's interesting that when Nebuchadnezzar saw this, that is a worldly king, when he saw the world empires in his dream, it was so attractive, it was so beautiful, it was so charming. And he really enjoyed, you know, looking at this and hearing this interpretation by Daniel. Head of gold. No, Daniel in the interpretation said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the first king, the Babylon, that is the head of gold. So he was very much, appreciative of Daniel, because this gives a very majestic, attractive, and ornate and a very beautiful picture of the world kingdoms. So the four major kingdoms that has come, that has ruled the world from Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. But when the prophet saw this in Daniel 7, it appeared to be like ferocious beasts. It lost its charm. It lost its attraction. To a worldly king, to a pagan king, it was so attractive, the kingdoms of this world, its pomp and pageantry and its might and its glory. But when the prophet saw it, he saw that as ugly, ferocious, cruel beast. And that talks about the difference between a worldly perspective and a spiritual perspective, analyzing and looking at the world events and the things of the world, and the attractions of the world, and the pride of life of the world. When the world looks at it from a different perspective, when we look at it, it's from an entirely different perspective. Now, the most important thing here is that we know that in AD 476, that is the official year of the fall of the Roman Empire. Edward Gibbon's famous book, all of us know, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. In AD 476, that is the official year in which the Roman Empire fell. But the interesting thing is that all the previous empires, like the Babylonian, Medo-Persia, and also the Greek Empire, it kind of collapsed all on a sudden. But the Roman Empire it deteriorated slowly, mainly by internal deterioration and pollution. Not that somebody conquered it and overnight it was thrown. So it was a slow deterioration and it disintegrated slowly. And in AD 1453 AD, the eastern part of the Roman Empire, which was known as the Byzantine Empire, that also collapsed or degenerated. So the western part of the Roman Empire, which was, had a very prominent place in history, it's fallen in 476 AD, and the eastern part, the Byzantine Empire, in 1453. So these are the four major world empires according to world history and also biblical prophetic history. Now comes the interesting thing in relation to the Nebuchadnezzar's dream and also Daniel's dream. But the Roman influence continued throughout history. For example, look at the legal systems today. The highway system, the court system, the commercial system, the trade system, all originally comes from it. The Roman influence and impact continued throughout history. For example, one good example can be, the Roman Catholic Church and the Roman Empire, which they built to some extent. Then Napoleon and Hitler, all, in the Western world, they continued that phenomenon of the power and the might and the domination of the world was continued from the West to some extent. America became a superpower because people from the West primarily migrated to America. Then later, people from all over the world came. So when we look at, even though there is no Roman Empire as such today, the Roman impact and the Roman influence and its systems and its impact continued throughout history and even today. And according to the word of God, that little horn, so there will be in Daniel chapter 7, we read in verse 8, as I was considering the horns, there was another horn, a little horn coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. So a little horn, that is, at the end of world history, that is during the last days of Israel, after the rapture, before the coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish his kingdom, there will be a resurgence, a renewal, and there will be a rebirth of the ancient Roman Empire. And the rebirth of the ancient Roman Empire can be seen even today in the European Union. Now, in Daniel 7, we see these beasts coming out of the great sea. In verse 2, Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The great sea in the Bible is always the Mediterranean Sea. In world history, even in recent history, Mediterranean Sea is referred to as the European Lake. So, within the region, within that region, 10 kings becoming, 10 empires, 10 nations becoming more prominent and powerful. Right now, in the European Union, there are 28 nations as members. Now, other nations have applied for membership. So, people usually ask this question. The Bible prophecy only talks about the 10-nation federation, And out of those 10 nations, the little horn, a prominent leader, the Antichrist, will come. That is all what the Bible tells. So when people ask this question, what will happen with all these 28 nations, we do not know. Maybe in its final form, the 10 nations will become more prominent and they will hold the ultimate control. Now, what is happening in Europe now, last week I mentioned that, even though it is not in the Bible, my own personal reading is that the Ukrainian crisis now probably will make the European Union stronger and powerful and more united. a rebirth, a renewal, a revived interest, both in politics and in military and in economics and everything. So it may be God's plan of giving them more strength, bringing them as the as a powerful United States of Europe. And when America is not able to lead the world stage, eventually the United States of Europe will lead the world stage, and probably US will go along with them rather than US being in the forefront and leading everything. That is a possibility. But at the end, there will be 10 nations, 10 kings. And out of those 10 kings, one will become the supreme ruler and a dictator. You know, very diplomatic, very cunning. But at the end, as we have seen, he will become very, very, very cruel. So, In Daniel chapter 2, we will turn to Daniel chapter 2 for a minute. Daniel chapter 2. The final form is the the fourth empire, legs of iron, Rome, feet from iron and clay. So its feet and the toes, we read that it is that the 10 nation, iron and clay, you know, different ideologies, different races, different groups, different political agendas, iron and clay, it won't mix. The word of God tells it won't mix. They are trying to mix. They are trying to form a federation. But finally, you know, one man will take the lead in this group, the restored, revived Roman Empire in the final form of world government. Now, in verse 4, chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, very important verse, as Daniel interpreted the dream. And in the days of these kings, that is the 10 kings, in the final form, when they are in power, controlled by, according to Daniel 7, the lion, the little horn. We will also read verse 33, Daniel chapter 2, verse 33. Its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, like a missile flying in the air, which struck the image, the entire image of these four empires. When Nebuchadnezzar was looking in his dream, Daniel interpreted it that when you were looking, Nebuchadnezzar, you could see that when you watched, a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. So all those kingdoms were completely destroyed, eradicated. The final form was the revived Roman Empire. And a little stone, a living stone, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of all ages, you know, and he is described in various ways in the Word of God as a stone and a rock. And here a little stone, without the help of a hand or anything, like a flying object, comes and hits the feet of this huge statue and struck the image, and it was completely destroyed. Then Daniel, giving its interpretation, and I know many of you are familiar with it, but verse 44 is very important. And in the days of these kings, well, read from verse 43. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another. These 10, these 10 toes, it will not adhere because different ideologies. Just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these things, these kings, so when these kings are here upon the world stage, and according to our understanding of prophecy, it happens after the rapture, towards the end of the 7-year tribulation period. But even from the beginning of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is here, and the covenant with Israel, the building of the temple, the covenant is broken, the great tribulation, and the European Union and its power, it controls everything, world religion and world politics, world economics and everything. It is controlled by the beast and his prophet, according to Revelation chapter 13. And in the days of these kings, what will happen? The God of heaven will set up a kingdom. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, described in Revelation chapter 19. No, and in the days of these kings, so when these kings are in power under the leadership of the little horn, Antichrist, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. No other race, no other kingdoms will come. That is it. This is the kingdom of God. You know, the final kingdom upon this earth, the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, look at verse 45, the last part. The dream is certain, Daniel's words, and its interpretation is sure. So God's prophet is announcing that the composite history of the world, which Nebuchadnezzar saw, later which Daniel saw in Daniel 7, and the interpretation Daniel gave in Daniel 7, and Nebuchadnezzar's dreams interpretation also Daniel gave in chapter 2. Look at the veracity, the authority of the prophet's words. This dream is certain. That means it is going to happen exactly like this, and its interpretation is sure. So that is the four major world kingdoms, the final revived Roman Empire under the leadership of the Antichrist, and Christ coming and setting up his kingdom. I will go to the next slide. A very important phrase in Luke 21:24, that is another important prophetic concept. In Luke 21:24, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a prophetic reference, made a declaration in relation to Jerusalem. And I'll just read that verse, 21:24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword. This is about the destruction of Jerusalem that will happen in the future, and led away by captive into all nations. You know, it had some effect in AD 70 when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, but a greater fulfillment of the same event is going to happen in the future. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Okay. So the Lord used a particular phrase here, the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles. In the times of the Gentiles, what happens? So what we saw in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, the times of the Gentile, that is Gentile world powers rule the world, dominate world history, persecute God's people, especially the nation Israel. So everything is tied to Israel in the prophetic scriptures here. So the world kingdoms in the visions in Daniel 2 and 7 represents the times of the Gentiles. Then from the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, that is when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Babylonian king destroyed Jerusalem in BC 586, until the second advent of Christ, such a long period of time, who is controlling the world affairs? It is the Gentile world powers. And the Gentile world powers, energized by evil schemes, corruption, fraud, and all kinds of atrocities, and even now in Ukraine, what is happening, nobody is able to do anything. You know, so it is the Gentile world powers dominating the world scene. And Israel is also being persecuted. And the times of the Gentiles, shall we move to the next one? So, the Lord said, until the Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles. That means Gentiles' armies will trample on the city of Jerusalem. They will attack them. Jerusalem will know no ultimate peace. The Lord said, until the times of Gentiles are fulfilled. So the Lord made a clear, defined a time period. You know, whoever tries in whichever best ways to establish peace in Jerusalem, it will not be long lasting. It will only be temporary. All the peace accords will be temporary. Israel will be threatened. Israel will be attacked. Until when? Until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles. So the time period of Gentile domination of Jerusalem, when the Gentile world powers will control the world governments, will continue until the end of the tribulation days. So Jerusalem will always go through trials and trouble until the end of the tribulation days. Next slide. So, Scofield Reference Bible has a very good definition of the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles is that long period beginning with the Babylonian captivity of Judah. So, in world history, Babylon first attacked Jerusalem and they trampled Jerusalem. So, the times of the Gentiles was inaugurated at that time. When the from the Babylonian captivity of Judah under Nebuchadnezzar, and to be brought to an end by the destruction of Gentile world power by the stone cut out without hands, that is the coming of the Lord in glory, until which time Jerusalem is politically subject to Gentile rule. So Gentile attack, Gentile domination, Gentile military action, you know, all kinds of things against Jerusalem will continue to happen in spite of temporary periods of peace, as we are seeing today. So the Lord said, it is a prophecy against Jerusalem. That is, until the times of the Gentiles, Gentile domination of the world, until that time period is fulfilled, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentile world powers. And the Gentile world powers and all its strength will come to an end when the Lord comes in glory at the end of the tribulation period, and he will establish a kingdom. A stone that is cut out, it comes like without the help of anything, flying like a missile, comes and strikes the great statue, that great image, and it is completely destroyed. And what happened to that little stone? It became a great mountain that fills the whole world. That represents the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he will establish. So, this is where the world is heading. And this is what that will happen. So this is an overview of the major events. The fine details, we are not able to predict when and the date and all the details of it. There is no need for it. But our responsibility is to know these important truths in the prophetic scriptures so that we can analyze contemporary world events without making our own predictions, and we can know where it is heading. We'll continue, God willing, next week. Shall we close in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word and the authority of the prophetic scriptures. We pray that as we study and appreciate these wonderful truths, that we may be more strengthened in our hope and in our faith, in waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us home with him when he comes in the rapture. And as the word of God reminds us that the world will be left to terrible condemnation and damnation and destruction when the Gentile world powers continue to rule the world until the Son of God comes and establish his kingdom upon this earth. As Daniel reminded us that the interpretation is, these words are true, the interpretation is sure, this will happen exactly like this. And may we take confidence in that blessed word. Send us now with your blessing. May we take consolation, comfort, and strength and celebrate our victory through the indwelling Holy Spirit and through the power of God's great and wonderful word. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.